And welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM with Dr. Ben Edwards. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. How are you, sir?
Hey, Wade. Good morning. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got to fix this right quick.
Thank you for having me again. It's good to be here on a Monday morning. For those who have Facebook, and I don't blame you if you don't, but we've had a video or two taken down. YouTube has censored us a little bit too. So thank you, Wade, for allowing us to speak here.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a great show lined up today, so what are we going to be talking about?
Well, today's a day for encouragement. I think a lot of people are stressed out, and from COVID to the election to just normal everyday living. So today we're going to encourage you, and we're going to start with, we have a patient who was very sick with COVID, and now he's well, and he really wanted to share something with the audience from the standpoint of encouraging everybody and giving people hope, because I think a lot of people are being discouraged that there's no hope, or if you get this, especially if you're elderly, it's a death sentence. So we'll start with that, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. So you want to go to the phone call?
Yes, let's do that.
All right, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, and we're going to keep this anonymous, I think,
yes,
for various reasons, but let me just introduce a little bit. So we've had, obviously, an increase in COVID cases in Lubbock recently. This gentleman came in to see us after really being sick for a number of days, probably close to 10 days, and he was pretty sick. I'll let him tell his story. I'll fill in some of the gaps or details if he doesn't. And today he's well, so we want to give him an opportunity to share. So go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Ben. Before I begin my COVID story, I'd like to just offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for your healing. Thank you for your wisdom, guidance, and direction that you give to Dr. Ben. Thank you for his willingness to accept your guidance and leadership and step out in faith, treat his patients according to your plan. It differs from some of the conventional medical treatments. I thank you for his family. Thank you for the staff at Veritas and all the work that they do. Thank you for the patience and the help that my wife's been through me over the last 3 weeks, and we give you praise and honor and glory for who you are and what you've done. Thank you for the gift of salvation and eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. Mm-hmm. I ask these things now in his name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm a 74-year-old patient at Veritas. I've been a member since 2014 when I had another health crisis that Dr. Ben navigated me through successfully. At that time, my wife and I changed our diet and lifestyle. We started eating organic, getting our meat and eggs from Holy Cow Beef, and following the root cause protocols and the four pillars. I think up until 3 weeks ago, I would have said I was in good health. I did not have any of the underlying medical issues that are concerned other than my age, and I think my terrain, as Dr. Ben talks about, was in pretty good shape. The week ending October the 16th, for a few days I had been running a low-grade temp, and my wife and I had been using a product for probably 20 years called a mild silver protein. It's kind of a colloidal silver type of product, similar, and using that for our medication most of the time when we had sniffles or symptoms or something like that. On Friday afternoon, maybe even Thursday, she said, maybe you've got a bacterial infection. Maybe we need to get some blood work done and see what's going on and put it off. And so Friday afternoon, I was feeling worse, and I called Veritas, and there wasn't anyone available to see me or anything that day, so we made an appointment for Monday the morning at 11 o'clock. And so I just continued to go down. Saturday morning, early, about 2:15 a.m., I had gotten up and gone to the bathroom and was washing my hands, and I told my wife, I don't think I'm going to pass out. And she had come to the bathroom also and was washing her hands. She said, hold on a minute. That's the last I remember. I passed out on the bathroom floor. She said I quit breathing, but before she could call 911, I came to and was breathing and able to communicate with her. I laid on the bathroom floor for, I think, about 45 minutes, and then told her I think I can get up and get in bed, which I did, and slept then for several hours. About mid-morning Saturday, this was on the 17th, we decided to call to go to the emergency room, see if I could get some blood work done and see what was going on. And so we knew that if I go by ambulance, I'm more likely to be seen sooner than if she just takes me and drops me off at the ER. So we called EMS, and they came and loaded me up and transported me to the ER. And on the way, they said, oh, you've got COVID. Told me at least three times, yeah, you've definitely got COVID. Have you been tested? And I said, no. And so they did the nasal swab. And I said, when will we know? And she said, it'll probably be, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. I said, we'll take you into a holding or treatment room until we know whether you're positive or not. And so as we, I'm transported into the ER and back into that holding room, she said, now down at the end of the hall is a, I think she called it a community room, said that's where all the positive patients are, and you won't be moved down there until they know for sure, and said you'll also get a chest x-ray. And so they came and did the chest x-ray, and sometime later they were going to move me down to that room, but there was no space available. The room was full, so they left me in that holding room or treatment room. And I was there for 6 hours. And finally, this is about 6 o'clock Saturday evening, 5:30, something like that. I called my wife and I said, I think you just need to come and get me, and I'll go home. And she did, and miraculously I was able to walk out of the ER under my own power, just by God's grace. Don't remember anything. Got home, went to bed. Don't remember anything about Sunday. Monday morning, we're getting ready to go to Veritas for the 11 o'clock appointment. And I'm just barely functioning. Able to, once we got there, could barely walk from the street into the office. Went straight back to the practitioner's office and went into the office, and there was a treatment table, and I said, can I lay down there? And she said yes, and they started doing different, you know, diagnostic workups right then. And I remember they did an EKG, and had trouble with the pulse ox getting, and I think my oxygen saturation level was so low that it couldn't believe it, because they kept trying different fingers, both hands, and couldn't figure out what was going on because it was so low. And then, you know, I'm pretty much out of it, but Dr. Ben comes in and says, you're really, really sick. And said, you've got COVID. And I think he had gotten a copy of the chest x-ray from the ER on Saturday. Said, you've got pneumonia and both lungs, and there's a study from Baylor that I think we should, it's very aggressive, and I think that's what we should do. And so I agreed to let's do it. And so go down to the lab area, and he Dr. Ben says that it'll be several steps in the treatment. I'll be doing outpatient treatments on a daily basis, and it'll be an ozone therapy, nebulizer, IV fluids, oxygen, and then there'll be things I need to do at home as well. So we start the initial treatment with the ozone, and I'm pretty well asleep through all that. But I know Dr. Ben's standing right there, and he's writing prescriptions. He's talking to my wife about all the different things we need to get to be able to do this at home. And I think she may have gone over to meet with Russell West at Lubbock Oxygen over on Avenue A either that afternoon, Monday afternoon, or Tuesday. I don't remember for sure. This is 2 weeks ago today that that I was at that I had my first treatment, and so we go through the outpatient treatment that day. Go home. She gets me to bed, and then she goes to get all the prescriptions and the nebulizer and whatever else that Dr. Bennett outlined that we would need. And so I pretty much end that day just pretty well out of it. Tuesday, I vaguely remember we went to back to Veritas, went through the same outpatient protocols, and I'm doing the nebulizer four times a day at home, and taking the prescriptions and doing all that, and don't really remember much about that day or Wednesday, which would be my third day. And after Wednesday, between the third treatment and the fourth treatment, there was a miraculous a turnaround. When I went in on Thursday, the staff at Veritas couldn't believe that I was the same person. Even some patients that had seen me earlier in the week, Monday or Tuesday, couldn't believe the change between Wednesday and Thursday. And I don't know what all was involved with that. I know my lungs were better, but I think maybe my oxygen sat level had sort of reached the mid-80s, which is not good, but that's where it was. And it stayed in 85 to 87, 88 for a couple of days there. And so I don't know if that was the main thing that was significant in that dramatic change. But we were very optimistic about then how much more improvement would there be to Friday. And Friday came, and I was even better. Just my appearance, my ability to walk and communicate, and was much, much improved. And so that brought us to the weekend, and all I was going to do was the home treatments, the nebulizer, and keep up the medications and things. And then a week ago today, the weather was starting to deteriorate. I went in, and I think Dr. Ben was a little bit disappointed. I think he thought the pneumonia would all be gone, but there was still some he could hear, and he said, "I'd like for you to get a chest x-ray." And the RN there in the lab just did way beyond the call of duty. She set up the appointment for a chest x-ray, told him I needed oxygen, and I was on oxygen all the time. Leaving the house, going to Veritas and back, I was on a portable oxygen tank. I'm on oxygen at the house, so I'm on oxygen wherever I go. So she arranged for them to have oxygen available, wheelchair. We pulled up at the imaging place, and they came out, got me into the wheelchair and had the oxygen, got the cannula on and everything. Went in, did the chest x-ray, they brought me back out, and that cold air that day was pretty rough on my lungs. So So that was the sixth treatment that day. That's a week ago today. And then the office was closed on Tuesday and Wednesday because of the weather, so I didn't go back until Thursday. And last Thursday, Dr. Ben said I was pretty well clear. It might be just a little bit, and we would go ahead and do treatment on Thursday, come back and do one on Friday. And last Friday, he pronounced me completely clear and healed of the COVID. And kind of just to recap, but 2 weeks ago today, I was really, really sick. After three of the outpatient treatments, I experienced a very significant improvement. Today, I finished got a couple of titrating down the prednisone, and I've got a couple more days of that. Otherwise, I'm off all the prescription meds, and I'm continuing the oxygen therapy. My oxygen sat rate when I'm on the oxygen here at the house stays 95 to 97, bumps 98. So we're trying to wean off of that and get the sat rate to stay in the high 90s. And Dr. Ben said my energy level would, you know, been sick 2 weeks, it'll take a couple of weeks for the energy to come back. But through all of this, you know, God had a different plan. If I had been seen by a doctor, I fully believe in the ER that Saturday, I would have been probably put on a ventilator and put in ICU. But as I said, God had a different plan, and he used Dr. Ben to implement that plan. And we're blessed to have a doctor that not only does the medical research but actively seeks God's direction for his patients and prays for his patients. And that's truly remarkable. And I just thank God for Dr. Ben's willingness to step out in faith and treat his patients according to God's plan, not necessarily what the CDC would say. And, you know, Dr. Ben always says we give our bodies what God created our bodies to heal themselves. If we give it what it needs, then that healing will occur. So that's pretty much my story. Do you have any questions, Dr. Ben?
How do you feel this morning?
I feel fine. I've had a little bit of dehydration over the weekend. I can't seem to get my voice. Not quite like it ought to be. So I'm doing the chia seed pudding and drinking lots of water and trying to, you know, do the things to hydrate. But other than that, I feel good.
Well, praise God. Thank you for that encouragement. And I do want to give Lubbock Oxygen and Medical Gases, that's Russell West, as the owner, did outstanding work to take good care of this patient. So thank you, Russell, and y'all support Lubbock Oxygen and Medical Gases. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Ben. I'll disconnect now.
Okay. I just want to fill in a little bit of gaps. When this patient came in, his oxygen saturations were in the 70s, which normal would be in the mid to high 90s. And below 90, you're really obviously needing more oxygen. But when you're as low as he was, you really do think about intubation if they don't respond to oxygen by mask or nasal cannula. And with his age and the level of his oxygenation in his blood, he was a pretty sick guy. And he mentioned the protocol at Baylor, so that's what I want to really highlight. Dr. Peter McCullough, who is vice chairman of internal medicine at Baylor Dallas, he published in the American Journal of Medicine, it's been a couple weeks ago, or a month ago maybe, Pathophysiological Basis and Rationale for Early Outpatient Treatment of SARS-CoV-2 Infection. That's the name of the article. You can go look it up, American Journal of Medicine. And so Dr. McCullough produced this protocol, which includes hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and azithromycin. For more symptomatic patients, you add steroids, vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin A. So that was the protocol that we were referring to. There have been other papers written since then, including one published just last week, October 26th, in the International Journal of Antimicrobial Agents. It's a COVID-19 outpatient early risk stratified treatment with zinc plus low-dose hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin retrospective case series. So you can go look that up, the International Journal of Antimicrobial Agents, October 26th. But in a nutshell, what they did was after 4 days of illness, they took these patients, and the average age was 58, and they received the prescription for that triple therapy for 5 days, the hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. And they compared that to a group of patients who did not receive that therapy. And the results showed hospitalization rates dropped from 15.4% in the untreated group to 2.8% in the treatment group. Death rates dropped from 3.5% to 0.7%. So that's an encouraging study. And I will say FDA and CDC have not approved any treatments for COVID-19. Well, possibly the new drug coming out. But in a situation where there is no therapy, no known treatment, you do have the ability as a clinician to use medications off-label and to use your clinical experience. I like to remind doctors who call our office and inquire about some things about the definition of evidence-based medicine, because it seems to be forgotten the full definition, which is the integration of clinical experience with patient values and the best available scientific information to guide your decision making. So those are three big factors there: clinical experience, values of the patient, and best available scientific information. And on values of the patient, I'll give you an example. It's, you know, like if a Jehovah's Witness came to the ER with a bad bleed, but they don't believe in taking blood products, then you don't give it to them, even though the medical literature says to, and your clinical experience says to do that also. You wouldn't, because patient values trump everything else. And then an example on clinical experience, you know, there isn't a known therapy for COVID-19, but if your clinical experience points to that, say, IV vitamin C improves, or just hydration, just giving some what we call banana bag or vitamin and mineral drip. If your clinical experience tells you those patients do better, then you do it. Now, you don't claim that's a treatment. FDA has to substantiate that with a double-blind, placebo-controlled, you know, valid scientific study before the FDA will allow you to say that's a treatment. So we're not saying that. We're doing supportive care and then using our clinical experience to do the best we can for our patients. But I will say, there are now 155 studies, 93 of which are peer-reviewed. And you can look this up yourself, c19study.com. And it is all the hydroxychloroquine studies that have been done this year on COVID-19 early treatment with hydroxychloroquine per these studies. Again, 155 studies. Early treatment shows great benefit. 100% of studies report a positive effect when started early. Late treatment, not near as effective. So I just want to encourage people in that. The same C19study.com, they've estimated 568,000 deaths because of lack of utilizing this protocol more worldwide. And you can see a map on C19study.com which countries use the protocol and which ones don't. And we did use kind of a modified frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance protocol. That's FLCCC, or the website is COVID19criticalcare.com. And it's a protocol using steroids, vitamin C intravenously, thiamine intravenously, which is a B vitamin, heparin, which is a blood thinner. And then you have the option to add in other things like zinc and D and melatonin, stuff like that. Again, that is COVID19criticalcare.com. If there's doctors out there that want to see that protocol, it's right there on the website. And this, you'll see all the physicians there too. These are physicians from around the country, and these are mostly critical care, pulmonary and critical care specialists from big university hospital settings. Dr. Pierre Corey, he's medical director, trauma and life support center, critical care service chief, associate professor of medicine, University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, Dr. Pierre Corey, and Dr. Paul Merrick, who's at the Eastern Virginia Medical School, Norfolk, and he's a chief division of pulmonary and critical care. And there are a number of other doctors, too. You can go on the website and check out that. So these are well-credentialed, well-respected physicians who are practicing in tertiary care centers. COVID-19criticalcare.com is their website. So really with this patient who we just got off the phone with, it was a combination of those two protocols, using intravenous therapies, oxygen therapy, the hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin. And we're sharing this today because I just hear so much from the general public about being scared and that there's nothing to do for this, when it's pretty clear in the literature there is something to do. And in fact, I want to say, Peter McCullough, I don't know if I can, I may try to play this, hopefully y'all can hear it, but Dr. McCullough at Baylor in Dallas, just after publishing this protocol, contracted COVID-19 himself, so he started his own protocol. And he put a video out, I think it was Friday morning, and it was day five or day six of treatment, day eight of illness, and he had turned the corner dramatically. Y'all can go to his YouTube. I don't know that I'll try to play it. It probably won't come through very good on the mic, but that's Dr. Peter McCullough, McCullough. And y'all can listen to his testimonial. There are doctors all over the country who are relating the same clinical experience and reports. Dr. Brian Tyson, El Centro, California. He's at an urgent care facility. El Centro is right on the border. Borders, I think, Mexicali, a Mexican town across the border with over 1 million people. And he reports that over 1,900 patients he's treated with this therapy with no mortality. And these are, a lot of these patients are high risk because they have metabolic syndrome and obesity and diabetes. So that's Brian Tyson. There, and again, a number of physicians all across the country. So I would encourage people to, you can go to Frontline Doctors is a website that talks about these doctors, has their testimonials. You can go to the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons website. I believe that's aapsonline.org. Let me look that up real quick for you. Don't want to tell you wrong. But the aapsonline.org, and that's the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And on that website, you can download a guide to home-based COVID-19 therapy, and that is written by Dr. Jane Orient, MD, and Dr. Elizabeth Lee Violet, MD. And again, the name of the booklet, it's an e-book, you can download, Home-Based COVID-19 Treatment, Step-by-Step Doctor's Plan That Could Save Your Life, is the name of the book, but just go to aapsonline.org. Lots of good information there. It's a great resource, lots of testimonials, so I encourage you to look at that. Lots of hope for those who do need extra therapies like that. So I think it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this, but also just in general, some encouragement on healthcare in America right now and how we can take charge of our own health and be well. So y'all stick with us. This has been Edwards, You're the Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Veritas Medical. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Always check out the website, veritaswellness.health. Right back at it right here with Dr. Ben Edwards.
All right. Thank you, Wade. Just want to remind everybody we've got a wellness class at veritaswellness.health. It's a four-week class. You can meet with our wellness navigator once a week via Zoom, and then at the end of the 4 weeks, I'll do a live Zoom also with all the class attendees, where you can hear from me uncensored. And our goal for that class is to keep you out of our office. I mentioned on the video on Friday that I did, there's a young man and his wife that lost 18 pounds and 20 pounds, got off their blood pressure medicines, feel great, and that was just from cutting sugar out, cutting processed foods, being intentional about what they eat. And that was after I went and gave a talk down in Anson, and they got pretty motivated. And so I tell people this all the time. I mean, the studies are clear. The top killers are all diet and lifestyle. They're not. It's not your genes. 95% of all cancers, diet and lifestyle, rooted in diet and lifestyle. Those diet and lifestyle things you're doing, the standard American things you're doing, create oxidative stress, free radicals that go turn on the bad genes, the oncogenes, the cancer genes. But the genes don't initiate that. It's the free radicals and toxins and just the way we live, the constant stress. It's a perfect recipe for turning on your bad genes. And that goes for heart disease and Alzheimer's and all these chronic American diseases. Their diet and lifestyle related. And as we see, if you have chronic disease, you increase your risk of dying from COVID too. So it's beautiful that all of this can be, your risk can be reduced greatly by addressing the diet and lifestyle. You don't need a doctor to do that. And in my experience, it helps to have a doctor to tell you all the facts and go through all the studies and prove this to you that it's not your genes. And then, because I guess a doctor has the credentials to do that, so it motivates people and then they go do it. But the point of this class is really to keep you out of Veritas Medical. And of course, there's no guarantee, just like the gentleman early in the first half of the show said, he thought his terrain was pretty good. But there can be some underlying things we're just not aware of, or it's just how life goes. I mean, we can get these infections sometimes. So obviously there's a time and place for treatment, but it's clear that you'll reduce your risk greatly if you address your nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. So that wellness class at VeritasWellness.health, I highly recommend it. I want to remind everybody what the infection fatality rate is for COVID-19. It is not what we initially thought. I've said this 500 times, but I'm going to keep saying it because I don't hear it said enough, and it helps people to get perspective. So this is from the World Health Organization, Bulletin of the World Health Organization, published October 14th, 2020. Dr. John Ioannidis, who's at Stanford, he's an epidemiologist. This is a peer-reviewed, accepted, and edited, and you can go look it up yourself, just the Bulletin of the World Health Organization, Infection Fatality Rate of COVID-19 by John Ioannidis. And what it showed was the overall infection fatality rate is 0.23%, and for people less than 70 years old, it's 0.05%. So those are numbers that are more in line with influenza than it is with a massive, deadly germ that we initially thought was going to be the case with those initial models. So as we've been saying all along, yes, it's a significant virus. I mean, just like influenza, some years influenza is super bad and kills lots of people, and these respiratory viruses do that. And ICUs get full and hospitals get full, so I'm not discounting that at all. But as we said before the break, if we could get this protocol in every doctor's office before the hospital, it's going to reduce those hospitalization rates substantially from 15.3% to 2.8%, as that study I quoted earlier said. So just a little reality check there. There is stuff we can do at home. There's stuff we can do early to prevent and reduce hospitalizations. The data is out there. And the question I keep getting is, why don't we hear this everywhere? And, man, that's a tough question. It's hard to imagine that there could be influences in our medical profession other than just what's best for the patient. But that's all that I can conclude, really. I mean, when you've got the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons being way over on one end, quoting all this literature that I've been quoting you, saying we need everybody on these protocols to reduce hospitalizations, and you have the AMA president I read this weekend saying, nope, there's nothing we can do but wash hands and wear a mask and socially distance. So two different ends of the spectrum, and how could that be? And I'm not privy to what's in the heart of these folks at AMA and other places. And the back and forth, too. I mean, I probably can't go into it right now, but the WHO and even Dr. Fauci, I just read an article that was quoting them both directly, the flip-flopping back and forth all year long, from whether you're talking about the M word, I can't even mention that word, or all the different protocols and different things. So it's confusing for doctors, obviously very confusing for the general public too. And the why behind it is speculation, and I can give my opinion on that, but I feel for the patient, really, because they're the ones who are the most confused and the most scared and suffering the most. And I did want to mention CDC also put out their data last week. Overall infection fatality rate for 0 to 19-year-olds, 0.00003. That's less than influenza. 20 to 49-year-old, 0.0002. 50 to 69-year-old, 0.005. And 70-plus is 0.05. That's CDC as of 10/19/2020. So it's good to keep that in mind. I'd like to just share my opinion really from this point on. In 2012, when I was introduced to root cause resolution type medicine, deal with the diet and lifestyle, and symptoms go away. People lose weight and their diabetes goes away. I mean, doctors kind of know this, but we're not taught it in medical school. We don't get good diet and lifestyle education in medical school. It's like someone just chose for us that Americans are not going to change their diet and lifestyle, and therefore we're just going to skip over that part. That's not an option because they're not going to do it. So we can only manage disease, manage your hypertension, manage your cholesterol, manage your reflux, manage your heart disease, manage your everything, your asthma, you name it. It's management of diabetes as opposed to address the diet and lifestyle factors that set the stage for that disease to manifest. And when you can do that aggressively, the diseases go into remission. We can't use a cured word, but it's clear. So 20,000 patients plus later, after 8 years of this, it's clear the body does fix itself, usually, not always, when you address these things. So Dr. Kenobi was on a couple months ago, ophthalmologist, who started diving into the research to figure out the root cause of age-related macular degeneration, the number one cause of blindness in the United States. Where it took him was inflammation. That's where every doctor will land if you start digging to the root cause of disease. Inflammation is where you land. So what drives that inflammation? Dr. Kenobi's research, and he's published on this. You can go to cureamd.org and read his published literature. It's processed seed oils, vegetable oils, canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, Crisco, margarine, these hydrogenated and polyunsaturated fats, they're highly oxidizable. Oxidation is your enemy. We need some oxidative stress in the body. We need a balance, like a teeter-totter. Oxidation and antioxidation needs to be balanced. And if you get too heavy on either one, you can overload on antioxidants, actually. And obviously, overloading on oxidative stress will do damage to your cells. So there's got to be a balance, and the body knows how to keep that balance if you'll simply feed it properly and hydrate it properly and move and be at peace. So that's what he found through his research. It was these saturated, polyunsaturated vegetable oils. It's pretty clear. So he has a hypothesis that that's really the root cause of all this inflammation. He notes the first heart attack ever reported in America was in 1912, I believe it was. And there was one. Now it's the number one killer. We've adulterated the wheat. We've changed God's wheat, ancient wheat, from 4 foot tall einkorn wheat to 18 inch tall dwarf wheat. There's 46 chromosomes in modern wheat. There's only 14, I believe, in the traditional ancient wheat that God made. So that's a whole new host of genes that code for lots of different things, including proteins like gluten. Modern gluten is totally different than ancient gluten. The starch content of modern wheat, totally different. It spikes your blood sugar aggressively within a few seconds of you chewing on whole wheat bread of modern wheat. You're going to spike your blood sugar and your insulin. That drives inflammation. Sugar, processed sugar, burns through your carburetor and your cells so hot and dirty, creates so much free radicals, so many free radicals that it damages the mitochondria, damages the DNA, damages cell membrane, creates all the free radicals that we're talking about. And those are the big three, the processed vegetable oils, processed grain, and processed sugar. And the gentleman that lost 20 pounds and got off his blood pressure meds and is much less risk for COVID-19 now, reduced all those significantly. So we really just, it's that simple. We have to get back to eating the way we used to. And time to plug a little bit for those who are here locally in Lubbock. HealthyTraditions.com is a great website to find this ancient food, einkorn flour, traditional sweeteners like honey and maple syrup that are from bees that are in the wild wilderness of Canada, far away from any glyphosate, which is Roundup. And they, Healthy Traditions is now offering a local distributorship program, so we signed up, and we have these products at our clinic now. So you can get the einkorn flour, the ancient flour. You can get really good olive oil and coconut oil and the honey and the maple syrup. So you can still make your holiday treats. You just make them with ingredients that your great-grandparents used before there was all this chronic disease. Sounds too simple, but that's, in a nutshell, going to be it. Just eat like your great-grandparents. Weston A. Price already proved this extensively. Now, I got to give a talk in Amarillo this weekend, and the point of my talk up there was more on the peace pillar. And I do like to mention all this great food that God's given us to eat won't be digested if you're in fight or flight mode. Won't be fully digested and properly digested if you're in fight or flight mode. When you're in fight or flight mode, the body turns down the immune system, the gastrointestinal system, and the hormone system. Those are three systems that are essential for long-term life, but not for surviving a bear attack in the next 5 minutes. You don't need to worry about digesting your food, making hormones, or your immune system in the next few minutes if a bear is attacking you. So that fight or flight mechanism is to conserve and shunt all your energy to your muscles, your heart, your lung, dilate your pupils, you know, fight or flight. So it's there for a purpose, but we shouldn't be in fight or flight very long or very often. And if you are long-term, those three systems, GI, hormone, and immune, will be greatly affected. And those are probably the top three systems that we see patients at our clinic have complaints regarding those. You know, autoimmune disease, digestive issues, hormone issues. So we need to be at peace despite our circumstances. It's not circumstantial. Bruce Lipton proved this, and I think we'll replay his video in the coming week sometime, because his work showed clearly that it's the beliefs that are set up in your mind that determine if you're going to go into fight or flight or stay in rest and digest mode, peace mode. It's your belief system. You can put people in the same stressful circumstance. Some people flip into fight or flight and some people don't. It was the same external stressors. So what's the deal with that? Well, some people had a belief system that allowed them to stay at peace. Personally, what I believe and why I think we are in such turmoil right now is we have forgotten that the battle's not flesh and blood, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have, the Western mind and culture has totally forgotten about the spiritual realm, and we discount that. We're intellectualists. If we can't touch it, see it, feel it, measure it, look at it through a microscope, then it's not there. So that's strike number one. We just have a hard time comprehending. And for those that do, it's still an intellectual process. There's not been a heart change. And I believe, at least for me personally, in the circles I run in, which is more scientific circles, Charles Darwin, the deception through Charles Darwin brought most of this in. The interesting thing about Darwin, this theory, because before Darwin, I mean, pretty much every famous scientist you ever heard of discovered any major thing when they were Christians. They believed in a creator. So Charles Darwin comes along and proposes this theory. And I've been studying Darwin a little bit. And the funny thing about Darwin's theory, as you know, he believed we just evolve slowly over time through environmental pressures causing mutations that cause advancement of the species. Interesting to note, there's never been a single mutation that added information. Genetic mutations degrade information. So how do you get from pond scum to a highly, quote-unquote, evolved person like a human when there's no evidence or documentation of adding information? But Darwin himself, in his book, the name of his book, On the Origins of Species, Chapter 6, Difficulties on Theory. And Darwin himself said a couple of things in regards to his theory would be proven false. One of those was irreducible complexity. And I encourage you to look that up or just go look at Darwin's black box. That's Dr. Behe, B-E-H-E. but I'm quoting Charles Darwin here. If it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed, which could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, my theory would absolutely break down. What he's saying is, if you can find something in the body that has multiple working parts, and if you took one of those parts out, then the whole thing doesn't work. There's no way for it to evolve over time. A real simple explanation, this is a rat trap, if you think, or a mouse trap. Just think about that, or Google a picture of a mouse trap. There's the board, you know, the platform. There's the spring. There's a lever that holds that spring. And there's one other piece. You know, there's four or five pieces to it. But they're all interdependent on each other. If you take one of those away, the whole thing doesn't work. So there's no way to slowly over time evolve into that. You need it all at the same time. And what Dr. Behe, who I believe is at Lehigh University, shows in his work, and it's really in his book, Darwin's Black Box, he focuses on certain things like the microbial flagella. So there's bacteria that have these flagella. These are little outboard motors. It is incredible. Just go look up on YouTube, outboard motor flagella. You know, type that in. Unbelievable. There's an L ring, a P ring, a rod, an MS ring, a protein export system, a C ring, a motor complex. This thing spins at 100,000 RPMs. There's a filament, a subunit of the filament. There's this hook. I mean, it really looks like an outboard motor. And I'm not a mechanic or an engineer. I don't understand these things that well. But it's clear. When you see this thing in action, and that's just the construction of the flagella, the bacteria is able to sense what direction it needs to go based off temperature and other factors. And the flagella move in unison with the other flagella to move you to the right place. I mean, it's incredible. But that's one example of irreducible complexity. The blood clotting system in the human body is another one. If you can only see the cascading effects of this blood clotting system. So when you have tissue damage, you know, you cut your finger, bump your, or have big trauma, break your leg, and your bone and your muscle, everything is torn and bleeding. You have that damage that causes certain proteins to be released, and that protein triggers this cascade of the next protein. But each protein along the cascade, and there's like 12 steps to this cascade. The next step is dependent upon the prior step. The whole thing breaks. It's all got to come together at the same time to make that clot. And you know, that sounds so simple, but if you think about a paper cut, you could bleed to death from a paper cut. If this clotting system didn't work right, or you bleed from clots if it clotted too quickly, too aggressively. It's an amazing complex system with 12 different interrelated parts that if you remove one, it doesn't work. So if you really spend some time thinking about this and studying it and taking a deep dive into irreducible complexity, and again, that's Behe, B-E-H-E, Darwin's Black Box, I think you'll be amazed. And again, Darwin himself said the whole theory falls apart. And that wasn't the only thing he said as far as what would cause his theory to be nullified, the Cambrian explosion. He said if at any point, let me get the quote. Why, if species have descended from other species by insensibly fine gradations, do we not everywhere see innumerable transitional forms? That's a different quote. There are no transitional forms. All these supposed ones were frauds. I'm going to make a video on this later. And then he had a quote on, if all of a sudden you see a sudden appearance, if numerous species belonging to the same genre or families have really started into life all at once, the fact would be fatal to the theory. To descent with slow modification through natural selection. What he's saying, if you see something in the fossil record like Cambrian explosion where all of a sudden you see all kinds of life at the same time, his theory would be dead on arrival. So there's three different areas that he admitted his theory would break down. All three have been proven now, but you don't hear about that. So why do I bring this up? Because if you hang your hat on this theory that there's no creator, there's no design, then we have to take over. Man's wisdom has to take over. We have to figure out how to kill viruses and how to manage heart disease and all these things in our own wisdom, which is influenced by what I term the orphan spirit. So if you don't know you have a creator who's your father, then you're an orphan. You don't have an identity. The orphan has to scrounge and scrape and claw for his own provision and his own protection. So you trace any of this stuff back. I'm not going to name names, but any of these world leaders and organizations and institutions that are influenced by the big money in the world, just look at all these guys operating and ask yourself, are they making decisions based off the benefit of those under their authority? Or are they making decisions based off their own provision and protection? Are they looking to a creator for a kingdom perspective on what's the best way to make decisions and rule in the earth? Or are they coming up with their own conclusions and their own ways to micromanage creation? I mean, Scripture talks about even the rocks cry out for the sons of God to rule, to stand up and rule and make these decisions that benefit creation. So it really boils down to a spiritual issue in my mind, and that's where we need to spend most of our time. Studying and contemplating and maturing so that we won't be knocked to and fro by every circumstance in the world. I think we're obviously in challenging times right now, so we need to seek out the truth, and the truth will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So don't put all your hopes in man. Put them in the one that created man. In that amazing book I always talk about, which is 66 books written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors in 3 different languages on 3 different continents, all come together and tell one amazing story. And those 40 authors pretty much didn't know each other either. Incredible divinely inspired quantum physics book. That's what I call it, my quantum physics. Because it lays out so much. If you just look at the, you know, 95% of quantum physicists become believers because it just lays it all out. There's got to be a supernatural force, but he's got to be connected still in the earth through the spirit realm, and Scripture lays that out beautifully. So I encourage everybody to wrestle with these things. And I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about relationship with the one that made you, put you here for a reason. You have a purpose and a calling on your life. When you're walking in that calling and not making decisions out of an orphan mindset, out of your own provision and protection, then I feel like you can be at peace. So y'all go seek out truth. Careful if you're letting flesh and blood boil your blood, get you mad, get you worked up, get you depressed. Remember where the battle's at and have a heavenly perspective on things. VeritasMedical.com, you can listen to all the archive shows. VeritasWellness.health, you can sign up for the class with the Wellness Navigators. And myself, I'll do the fifth class, will be a live Zoom with me. So go there and sign up and learn how to not need a doctor, how to steward your health, how to decrease your risk of chronic disease and acute infection. We'll be back next week. Morley Robbins, if you were looking for Morley today because it's first Monday, he will actually be in studio coming through Lubbock, Texas next week. So we just invited him to come in live. So he'll be with us next week talking about stress and the relationship between cortisol and that mitochondria that makes your energy, the oxidative stress that causes all this chronic disease. How does emotional, psychological stress, the direct correlation, the cortisol, the adrenaline, all those fight or flight hormones in the relationship with our cellular health. So y'all be back next week. Have a great show with Morley. Have a great week. Be at peace. This has been Edward Gere, The Cure.